Blog Talk Radio.
Better babe. Looking at you, I can tell you've had hard times in your life. Now it's time for me to make everything right. I wanna shower you with lovely things, help you smile again. I wanna get to know you, make it right so you can breathe again.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and I'm here to make it better.
Yeah.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl, and we gon' shine in love together.
From a broken heart, life's got you down.
Life's got you down.
And the bags under your eyes have the smiles inside. It's tearing you apart. Girl, you're looking at change. I'm a man who prays, and I'm strong in faith.
Strong in faith.
God must have had a plan. Placed you in my hand. Let me lead the
you're
way.
You're a diamond in the rough, girl.
Diamond in the rough.
We gon' shine in love together.
We gon' shine in love together.
You're a diamond in the rough.
You're a diamond in the rough.
And I'm here to make it better.
Here for you, baby.
You're a diamond in the rough.
What's up, world? You just tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and this is Talk to Me, hosted by the one and the only, the most fantabulous, loveliest, wealthiest, and most jubilant sister in the world. That's right. My name is Minister Cherie Humphrey, and I am the founder and president of Diamonds in the Rough, Finding the Spirit in Me, and the producer of A Star is Born Talent Events and Talk to Me Media. Our motto is standing firm on the promises of God. I just want to thank everybody for tuning back in as we are approaching the 10,000 mark in our sixth year of having this broadcast. God is good. I can remember when I first started this broadcast, my first guest was Prophet Ramai Jubalani of the School of Prophets. And believe me, it was a trying show, and I was so nervous. And if it wasn't for my girlfriend, Coco Melvin, God rest her soul, who passed away last year, I probably would never even have stepped out the boat and had started this broadcast, because she was the main person pushing me to do it. And it was my cousin had an epileptic fit in the middle of the show. It was just really, really, really very trying and hectic. But I think back to that time, and I still get butterflies, and I think that's a good thing. Because I still care about what you are hearing, and I care about what it is that I am giving you and sharing with you through this broadcast and bringing you so many different people from all over the place, the United States and abroad. So thank you so much for tuning back in once again. The title of this broadcast is Creating a Spring of Wealth, where everybody wants to have wealth. Everybody wants to be rich, but we're all not going to be able to do that. And there are going to be some practical steps and things that my guest is going to share with you. I wanted to bring to you somebody that is walking in wealth, not somebody that's thinking about wealth or somebody that's striving for wealth, somebody that is wealthy, so that you can get the firsthand experience of what she has gone through and some of the tips that she may be able to offer you to help you. I mean, we all can grow financially. And money is not evil, but it's the love of money that is evil and what you do with that money. So we're going to have her on in a little while, but you know I always start off with scriptures, and I ain't going to change the game up now. So I'm going to go to some scriptures that relate to this topic in regards to creating wealth. It says Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, okay? So that's the grandchildren, all right? And if you got money to go long enough to reach the great grand and the great great grand, then God bless you. That is leaving a legacy. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. Thank you, Jesus, because we need to have more people who are Christians and the righteous ones that are going to do something positive and productive with the money and not just splurge it on themselves and their own arrogant needs and desires. So I love that part of the scripture. Also, it says Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it. Well, when I hear that scripture, I'm thinking of someone who's an entrepreneur creating a business, or you're creating something, an invention, whatever it may be, and working little by little by little at it, and eventually it's going to grow and blossom into something great. And wealth comes in many different forms. It's not always monetary. You know, we're talking about a wealth of spiritual knowledge and being able to help someone else and pull someone else up once you have come out, or if you've never been in poverty, to show somebody else what they need to do instead of talking about them. Show them what it is. Take at least one person under your wing so that they can come up and come out. And then that person will go back and they will pull somebody else out. So, you know, my thing is that you can live wherever you want to. I don't knock nobody for wanting nice things and beautiful things. That is your prerogative as a human being. And I don't think anything is wrong with it, because one thing I have learned from doing Diamonds in the Rough for almost 15 years come December is that you need money to do anything. And it says money answereth all things. And I know that God gives you favor. He's given me favor. I've done, 17, 18, probably more than that, events starting off with no budget. Okay, so I know about favor, but I'm talking about having tangible money so that you don't have to struggle all the time. And that's what we're talking about, coming up out of that, being able to walk freely. And that's exactly what it is, being free. Being free and whole in every area of our lives. That is one of my goals before I leave this earth, because I have many, many countries that I want to travel to, and I'm not trying to stay just in Connecticut for the rest of my life. I've been too many places, I've seen too many things, and traveled too many places to want to be stationary, and it takes money to do that. So let's move on. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so when I think of this, it reminds me of when I ministered last year, Nothing Shall Separate Me from the Love of God, at the Stars Born Talent Show number 7. And, you know, I talked about, you know, people in ministry who are carrying these mantles, but yet and still forgetting about home. The kids going buck wild. They got a word for PK kids. I mean, things are happening, and I'm not going to say all churches, don't get me wrong, because there's some wonderful places out there of worship and fellowship. But you have some places where all kind of things are going on. Who is watching the children? Why are you trusting all these people? I don't care if they're in the church or not. Somebody got to be the one to have some good sense and common sense to say, okay, this person needs, we need to have somebody who's going to be over these particular kids so that molestation, rape, all those different things won't take place. And also, I'm sick of seeing churches, especially the storefront churches, everybody been in poverty. Nobody can't help nobody. Everybody's struggling. You've been in the same position for 10, 20 years at your church, and it's the same letters on the wall, the same doorknob, the same rug, the same seats, the same everything. My thing is that, okay, after 20 years, something got to change. I mean, for me, I'm always trying to progress year by year, and I have suffered and invested a lot in Diamonds in the Rough because this is something that is in me that I can't even shake. Okay, because God knows I tried to give it up many times. But I do know that all of this, the vision God showed me, will come forth and it will come to fruition. But I would hate to be in a position that I have my whole congregation is broke and ain't nobody able to help nobody. You can't give no advice nowhere because you don't know nothing. Get some education. That's my thing. Get some education to go along with the spiritual so that people can come up and everybody's not in the same predicament. Then people won't start thinking, oh, well, I'm giving all my money to the church and the only person that's prospering is the pastor. Okay? Show these people what they need to do. And if you don't know, bring somebody in that's going to help them. So let me move on, because I get aggravated with stuff. There's stuff that I see that I just don't understand. So let me just move on to the next one. Deuteronomy 28:12. The Lord will open to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Romans 13:8 is my favorite, and that's the one I love saying among some other scriptures. Owe no one anything, nothing. Owe no man nothing except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Because God knows one of my prayers is to owe no one nothing, anything, okay, before I leave this earth. And to be able to help many organizations, those sexual assault kids, St. Jude kids, I mean, kids overseas. I got 4 babies I was supposed to help years ago. I mean, there's so many things that I want to do, not just here, but in Africa where I've been before and all different types of places. But I can't do that if I'm owing all these people. So, you know, even when we got to think about with credit cards, when I went to work, first went away to college, they sent credit cards automatically. We didn't even ask for them. They just sent it to us. So, you know, it's you got to teach your kids about credit. You got to teach your kids about how to have a bank account, how to do this, how to save, how to create a business of their own. I was in another district in that was very affluent. They were bringing in people to show these kids how to create businesses. Okay, and you know, and it was because of the area that we were in, and also they was providing funding for these children. Now here you is got, you know, I just can't fathom how 20 minutes away from the Bridgeport area and 20 minutes away from the Stanford area, but yet and still I've never seen anything like that in my 25 years of working with youth. And I think that those type of things are what we need to be showing the children so that they can be their own bosses and stop working for other people. All right, let's go on to Deuteronomy 8:18. And let me look this up because I know that was one that I really liked. And it says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day." And I thank God because I got about 5 inventions in me, and all I'm doing is waiting for the money to come through, because when the money comes through, those inventions will go forth in the name of Jesus, because he gives us the ability and the power to create wealth. And I'm going to stop right there. First, let me tell you about the auditions. Go to the website. I don't want to take up too much time talking about it, but there's some auditions coming up in Bridgeport, New Haven, and also South Norwalk, the 9th of April, the 16th of April, May 14th, May 28th. Zamai Carter, Diamond Twinkle from last year, will be passing his diamond along at the White Eagle on July 9th, 3 to 7 o'clock. Tickets will be out this weekend if you want to buy one, $25. And tickets will go up after June 1st. So I just wanted to let you know that. Also, Kayla Lewis is our star diamond. She's going to pass her diamond along. These diamonds have been passed along, these fake diamonds, since the second year we've been doing The Star is Born. So we're looking for kids 8 to 21 years old. So go to the website, help us raise money. Look at the links at the bottom of this page. You can buy our T-shirts, booster.com/raise funds for DITR. Buy our DVDs, order our DVDs, order my ebooks, amazon.com/author/Sheree Humphrey. I have 9 books in total that have been published since 2002. Also, you're going to be tuning in to the author ML Brooks Show. I just did an interview with her on WICC, WeeWee 108, and that aired at 5:30 in the morning. So those of you who didn't see it, hopefully by next week I'll have it posted up on the website or my YouTube, my Facebook, my Instagram, something. Get your tickets for the McDonald's Gospel Fest. Talk to me. We'll be doing press again for the 9th year. Running Into the Light will be coming up. Workshop for Survivors of Abuse. And Promises 7, we'll be celebrating 15 years of Diamonds in the Rough. I'm going to go to a very quick break, 30 seconds. We're going to hear a little bit of Jill Scott, then I'm going to plug my call in. Okay, I'm so sorry. I had to stop right there. I got my call out on one of the waves. She's calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. And this is Dr. Prophetess Brenda Culpepper, who I've been knowing for 14 years now. Let me plug her in.
Good morning. Hello. Good afternoon. Good night. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm just blessed and highly favored of the Lord today. I was listening with great interest to your soliloquy today.
Okay, thank you so much. I just get so amped up because some things are just, it's like a indignation just rises up in me because some things I don't understand. I don't understand why these churches don't come together. There's 200-something churches in Bridgeport. There's no reason why you should have people homeless on the street and people ain't got no food. I just don't understand some things, you know?
Well, if I could interject and give you some food for thought, there are principalities over varying and sundry regions. There are reasons that people don't understand the nature of flowing together as one, that we are all supposed to be ambassadors of the gospel. But invariably what happens, we buffet against the principalities, the spiritual wickedness and darkness that prevails over a region. And so we've known for a long time now that New England is the seat of power for witchcraft, starting in Massachusetts, witch trials, so forth and so on. And it really extends itself all the way down almost to Co-op City in the Bronx. So what you have is just the culture of the region. There is a lot of backbiting, gossip, slander. There's a lot of fornication and all manner of sin. And what we have to do, those of us who are spiritual, we just have to pray. I think if we could begin just with one day of prayer coming together, you'll find more cohesion. The whole spirit of homelessness, and it looks like, and you know, I'm from there, so it looks like people don't really care. I think in this day and age, people don't know how to care. They've lost their zest. They've lost their zeal. They've lost the way to the light. So we have to pray for real. And now you were talking about kids and money and et cetera. Some of that is cultural as well. Some of it is the millennial generation. If you study the generation, starting with the builders, the first generation after slavery, and then you go to the busters, and then you go to the boomers, which is my generation. You go from them to Generation X, Generation Y, and now we're dealing with the millennial generation, the first technologically savvy. So some of what you're dealing with as well is the high degree of technology. What technology has done is enabled our children not to have to come to church. It would not have occurred to me on Sunday morning not to get up and go to Sunday school. Now they can click and put their earbuds in if they're so inclined, if their parents would enable them to go to church. Are you dealing with a lot of issues all at the same time? So the question is, how do you tackle one generation to make it compliant with the next?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely, because I work with youth, and the cell phones are the biggest problem.
For real.
Them from getting their education. And, I, you know, it's just baffling because you don't know what to do.
And, I'm going to say this to you. It goes way beyond education. They've lost their immunity. They're unable to communicate. So communication is key. They are texting. That, you know, I have to tell my grandchildren every now and again to stop mumbling, but they're not used to talking on the telephone or talking to people. They will text each other and they're in the same room. She's sitting on the couch.
Yes.
And they're texting each other. Can you get up and have a conversation? So we've lost the ability, our kids, to communicate. So you're concerned about creating wealth for our people. I've long been concerned about generational wealth. I'm concerned about why the household of faith doesn't have liquidity, doesn't have wealth. You're right. They're in the same place. They're stuck in neutral, literally. And I think some of it, because that's some of the work I do now, is leadership training. They have to be trained how to say that it's not okay. The status quo is not okay. We have something called the service delivery model, the way that you conduct your service on Sunday morning. How could your service delivery model be the same way for 10 years? God is current. He is ever moving. I mean, Periscope has exploded into the marketplace now. You can find any subject. Anybody can talk. You got people that don't have a church acting like they're God now. It's a crazy, crazy environment, crazy season of time.
Yes, and so what are some practical steps? Because he created wealth for yourself and your family. How, coming from where you came from, what are some of the things that were pivotal for you in creating that change and towards being financially stable?
Well, it isn't all just me. I just happen to have married well, okay? And then I'm going to say this, probably get in trouble, you'll never have me back. But the key to the wealth in our house is tithes and offerings. We are kingdom financiers. We always believe in doing the covenant that the Lord said, 10%. 20%, whatever. And then I found myself in a forward-moving, forward-thinking church. Bishop Ebenor Jordan is my prophetic father. I've trained 8 years in the prophetic under him. My husband was an investment banker, so there's a lot of just principles that we hold to. But primarily, it was pay your tithes. When you pay your tithes, it gives you the authority to go to God, and he will give you the keys to the kingdom and show you how to get wealth. We've saved money. We've done all of, you know, we own real estate, all of the things you have to do to get wealth. But primarily, you have to take a look at how you spend your money. For example, why would you go take a credit card? I listened to all your language, and I had to smile. And go and buy yourself a $300 pocketbook, and you don't have $300 in the bank. Then you got people driving big, fancy cars without garages to park the cars in.
I don't get any. Yes.
That is just like hooked on stupid. It is not how you get. You have to sacrifice yourself. And then you said something else very key. You didn't need me. Education. I'm a lifelong learner. Education. Get your happy hips in somebody's school. Find out how to get yourself a witty invention so that you can have generational wealth and then teach your kids how to save their money. My granddaughter works for, she got a little part-time job at Waffle House. None of us wanted to her to go to work there, but then her mother said to her, you can keep 10% of that money, all the rest goes in the bank. For the first couple of months, you know, she had a lip poked out, she wasn't happy about it, until she saw the first $1,000 at 16 years old. Then it got exciting to her. And so now she hurries to take her little money to the bank. With New Year's Eve, somebody gave her a $100 tip. She took that puppy to the bank because the excitement of watching that money grow became in her spirit, okay?
Yes, yes.
So sacrifice, education, paying your tithes is how we did, you know.
And as black people, you know, Prophetess, if you've grown up in the black community, you know about the church, you know about tithes and offering. But outside of that, people don't know much. I mean, besides opening a checking account, opening a savings account, if they know that much. And some people don't even have that. The credit's so messed up, they're not able to even get a checking account, so they're using prepaid, or they're paying in cash or paying in money order. So, you know, it's a lifestyle change. And, you know, I was told by my grandmother, my great-grandmother who raised me, she worked for wealthy white people. And she told me many, many stories growing up. And she said there was a woman who had invested her check, part of her check, with, I think it was CDs or IRAs and things of that nature. Well, the woman ended up being wealthy before she, you know, by the time she her child grew up. So I heard these stories, but I was saying to myself, well, why didn't you do that? I mean, and I'm thinking to myself, where is your house? I mean, 40, 50 years in an apartment? I mean, by then, by the 20th year, at least you should be thinking, can I own some land and some property?
But you have to be exposed to and be predisposed to it. Now, it's a little difficult for me if she was exposed by having worked with some wealthy people. You would think that that would rub off on her.
Right.
So I don't know what happened that it didn't rub off on her, but the fact remains that it's not too late for us to begin right at home, first with ourselves and then with their children. I've told myself, if I get two nickels to rub together and I put it in the atmosphere, I want to buy myself four Chick-fil-A franchises. I'm down here in Georgia, Chick-fil-A, UPS store, something that's going to create some generational wealth.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to have a good idea. You just need to study things financial, and keep your happy hips out of the mall. For real, for sure, and proper.
Prophetess, because my grandmother raised me and she taught me to have good taste. Because part of that money, I do know when I moved in, went on me, and it was buying this Macy's, Saks Fifth Avenue, Bloomingdale's. So I got accustomed to nice things and expensive things. But when I go to the store, since I've been grown, I can't afford what my grandmother used to do, not yet. And I look and I say, well, there's no need for me to go to the store because I already know when I see something, like if I see a fur coat, I'm going to want the most expensive one is going to attract me. So I get discouraged and I don't even go.
I used to tell people what I used to do as a pastime when we were building our houses. I would go drive around Backwater Greenwich. I just want to see how they live so I can get that in.
Yes.
Before I started driving a Mercedes-Benz, I'd go down to the Mercedes dealer, get all dressed up, and let them think that I was going to buy this so that the seed of it could be planted. Sometimes you have to trick your mind and your behind will follow, for real, for real.
Yeah, I used to do that when I was younger, go up in all the nice neighborhoods and draw pictures of mansions and, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, but now, you know, like vision boards, people do that, making lists. You know, my list is so long, I don't know what to do. I'm like, I'm going to be like 2-3 lifetimes to fulfill this. But...
Well, you know, all things are possible, you know, my dear.
Yes.
All things, for real.
Yes. And I know you always said to me every time I saw you, are you wealthy yet? And I used to, when I first met you, I said, why is this woman asking me that? Because my mindset at that time, at 33, you know, 30, 31 rather, I'm thinking, okay, I'm wealthy. That was like so far-fetched. But when the Holy Spirit came in and began to give me visions and dreams, you know, that was way greater than anything that I've ever had. And it's like the process in between is very frustrating because you know what you're gonna, you know what you're going to get, but you just don't have it yet.
Yep, for real. Yep.
Yes.
So it's all so good. All things, darling, are working together for our good, for real. They really are. And
Amen.
It's going to be right. Because you know who's going to have the last word, right?
The Lord.
He's going to have the last and final word. And in this season, he's going to show, you know, your best days are yet ahead of you. All that stuff that's in your latter years aren't even important if God has marked you for such a time as this. He's marked you for your voice is being calibrated for a particular segment of people's ear. So you just need to hold fast to what you know and see what God's going to do with you and for you in the next, I'm saying, 6-8 months. I see you meeting a man, Caucasian, that's going to have heard about you and is going to want to do something with a play or something. It's something entertainment-esque. I told you to study the Seven Mountains prophecy and see yourself in it.
Yes, I did. I started looking at it, and I saw the media, the arts and entertainment, and then the educational piece.
Right.
So I haven't read it yet, of course, but I'm going to definitely, I heard what you said. I wrote everything down.
Good, good, good. Then see what God's going to do. He's going to do something, and we're going to let him.
Amen.
We're going to let him
Amen.
Be himself, for real.
Yes.
So is
yes.
our time up? It's 7:02?
Yes, it is up. We have finished streaming, and the last minute or two should be recorded. And I thank you so much for coming on. I've always admired you and looked up to you. And God bless you. God bless you.
God bless you more, darling. But that's too much pressure on a sister today. Okay.
Okay.
So I've got
All right.
a class at 7:30 I have to teach now.
Okay, then. Thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully we'll have you back on again. Thank you for taking
All
out
right.
the time.
Now, honey.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Oh. you.